Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there. This is a live show, and yes, this is real, and this is really going to happen because everything's connected well. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. And I got to give props to, you know, the guests. I got to give props to Click Nutrition for letting me do my setup another day when I wasn't scheduled. Everything, it's just a blessing if you work at it. And honestly, this is like just paramount to anything you do in life. If it's not set in stone, things can happen. And then, you know, thanks to Vicky and thanks to everybody that helped out in getting this stuff straightened out. And, you know, if you keep working and trying, you'll reach your goal. So I got to, you know, throw it over to my co-host, partner in crime, Dez. Dez, how you doing?
I'm good. Hey, Natty Nation. Hope you're having a fabulous Wednesday. So what exactly happened last night? So you guys were set to do your show, and then there was no show. What happened?
Well, it was one of those where I could get online, and if I got online, it bumped her. And if she got online, it bumped me. And then it said there was a server error. So if because of the frigid temperature in this area, I think one of the towers was either knocked off or knocked out of alignment. And so everybody else basically caught the weight of every signal that was trying to get through. So it overloaded. And it said, man, it was just too busy and there was nothing that could be done about it. And by the time they got it fixed and sent me the all clear, it was 8 o'clock, and I had no heart for asking this woman to stay up another minute for having to deal with the craziness that we were doing. And since we have our guest on the line and are talking so well about her, this is kind of karma when you think about it, because it took me years to finally meet this woman, and I'd been trying for quite some time, and show after show, DFAC show after show, I was trying my best to meet up with her. We're going to meet at this show. We're going to meet at this show. Finally get the Midwest Muscle interview, and it just never came about. So yesterday I was like, you know, I get it. And you just got to be patient because, you know, good people are willing to go through some things that most natural, normal people won't. And this is just another reflection of that. So, Vicky, please introduce yourself to the P4P Natural Nation and all the other listeners that have joined in. And thanks again for having a humble heart and just allowing this to come on today.
Thanks, Keelan. Keelan is just one of those tech things. Technology is awful when it doesn't work. Hi, everyone. I'm Vicky McCann. I'm calling in from Scotland. I am the founder or co-founder of the DFAC in the USA. I also run the BMBF, which is the British affiliate to the DFAC. I'm also still a competitive bodybuilder in my own right, and bodybuilding has been a big part of my life for the past 27 years. So I know quite a lot about it, quite a lot about shows, quite a lot about the sport in general, and I love it, and I still love it after 27 years.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. And so I just have to say, I'm loving your accent. I am. If I don't say a whole lot, it's just because I'm listening to you talk. But if you didn't quite catch it, Vicky is in Scotland right now, right at this moment. So we're all connected and a truly international call. And Vicky, for those of us who might not know what DFAC stands for, can you tell us that full name?
It's the Drug-Free Athletes Coalition.
Nice.
Okay, perfect. And can you just tell us a little bit about DFAC or DFAC and what you guys stand for, what your goals are?
It's been a long-term goal and dream of mine to put something back into the sport. The reason we chose the word coalition is because we want everyone to feel involved and part of it. We don't have presidents, we don't have owners, we don't have anybody with titles. It's about working as a team for the good of the sport. It's by athletes for athletes, which is kind of our tagline. Everyone who's involved and everyone who's involved in, at every level is generally a competitive bodybuilder or has been a competitive bodybuilder. So we're working to do what we all wanted as athletes to have in our careers. We also have, passion before profit. None of us are taking any money from this. The DFAC is a non-for-profit movement. The promoters in their own right may make money, but knowing the promoters we've got, generally they're putting everything they have straight back into what they do. And none of the founders, myself, Rich, or Mike Lepowski, take a single penny out because we didn't want it to be a business. We wanted it to be about the development of the sport.
Well, it's turned out real nice. I mean, there's plenty of good things, but I would hate to be remiss in this. This is the new year. We've had a lot of, great new things, but I'd also like to point out that you're our first international call, so thank you for that.
My pleasure. Yeah. I'm honored to be that.
Love it.
Go ahead, Dad.
Nope, that was it. That was my comment.
Okay. Well, I would like to say that, there's a lot of things that have been happening with the DFAC, and there's a lot of good things that are coming through the woodwork. But, you actually signed on, and this really goes to what you were saying with Leaf and his show. I'm sure there was there might have been some people that might have thought he was going too far too fast, and it still happens. So that lets me know that egos were, put aside, and for the competitors, because that was one of the most talked about shows last year.
Leaf's show was fabulous. I mean, there was teething problems, there was things going on in the background, as we all always is or always are. The thing with the DFAC is that we are trying to set a standard in presentation and about putting the athlete first. It's about quality over quantity. It's great to have a big show, but not if you're losing the quality, the time on stage, the fun environment that we want people to have. Leaf did an amazing job to run a show and run your first ever event with the number of people he had in that event was fantastic. But don't get me wrong, he put his heart and soul and a hell of a lot of money into that show as well.
Yes, he did.
Never discussed whether he broke even, what he lost, what he didn't lose. But again, it was that passion before profit and about doing it for the athlete. It's something that we've been pushing from the start, and we didn't want to grow crazy fast with just promoters that are promoting for the sake of promoting. We wanted people that have the ethos, that have the understanding, that have the same ideals, excuse me, as we have from the start. And last year was a tough year for the DFAC. Mike Lepowski has two businesses and a young child. Rich Fitter was very ill, and he lost his mum towards the end of last year. So it was kind of tough, and it was a hard year. Leif Anderson and Romer and Rich and Joe Rich that came on board, they got it. I spent a lot of time speaking to them. We talked through a lot of stuff. I guided them the best way I possibly could from the other side of the world, and they really made a big difference. And that's not being dismissive of anybody else, because we have a lot of good promoters in the DFAC, people that really are true to the spirit of the sport. But those guys really came on board towards the end of last year, and they got behind my ideals, which in a lot of cases it has been. I mean, the DFAC kind of replicates what we do over here in the BMBF, and Rich always said that the BMBF is a blueprint for the DFAC, because over here we have structure, we have, we haven't lost the sporting element of bodybuilding, which is something that concerns me a lot when I watch shows. It's great to see so many people, but we also want to keep the sporting element. And we don't want just having hundreds and hundreds of people on stage for the sake of having them on stage. So that's always been important. But anyway, Leif and Romar have been fabulous. This year, we have also more than doubled the number of DFAC qualifiers. And a lot of that is to do with the promoters we already have, because they're bringing other people on board. People are going to their shows, seeing the difference, liking the ideals. And I think this will be the biggest year so far for the DFAC. It's quite incredible how quickly things have developed since middle of last year to the start of this year. I mean, I think we've got 17 shows scheduled this year. I think we had something like 6 or 7 last year, so we've more than doubled in a year, or less than a year. So we're quite excited. In fact, very excited about what 2016 is going to bring for the DFAC.
No doubt. It definitely sounds like there's a lot of momentum going behind the movement. I spent some time, just looking at your website and reading some of the content. And one of the statements that was made on there was pretty striking to me because it says something along the lines of that the sport of natural bodybuilding is not just fractured but completely broken. And so the DFAC came together to try and turn, I guess, if you will, that picture around from your standpoint. And it sounds that's like exactly what you've been doing. So I see that a big piece of that, or I'm hearing that a big piece of that, is your promoters and the way that they are putting on their shows, because obviously you've grown from 6 shows to 17 this year, so something is being done right. But what else would you point to that you guys have been doing that's maybe different? From your viewpoint, I mean, being a nonprofit is definitely different, so that's key there. Your promoters, what else is the DFAC putting in place that you think is, spurring this growth behind what you're doing?
I think one of the key things that we're trying to do, as I said, is to develop a structure. Our World Championship in Miami is invitational only. You have to qualify to be there. Up until now, all the other major events, the amateur section has been an open show. I've been involved with virtually all the major organizations over there as a competitor, and because I ran the BMBF, I used to take them as affiliates. And I used to be frustrated because my athletes in the UK would have to do a local qualifier, get to the British finals, qualify at the British finals, and come across as amateurs and compete in whether it was the WNBF, the IFPA, or the PNBA shows, and the other athletes weren't even qualifying. So it was almost like them going from having qualified at a British final to come across and compete in an open show. So one of the things that when we set out was that our world finals, at least for the amateur section, would be invitational only. Because one of the major issues in natural bodybuilding is everyone wants a pro card. There's so many pros.
Mm-hmm.
It's devaluing the pro status. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just that there's nowhere else to go. Winning amateur shows is only a progression to being a pro. Whereas what we wanted to mm-hmm. do is people that win the amateur world title should be so proud of themselves to have achieved that, to go through the levels that it takes to get to there and to win. I mean, actually, Derek Davis is the first American to win the amateur world title in the DFAC. It's been won by 2 Brits and a German so far. So this was actually, last year was actually the first American to win the DFAC pro card at the world. So that was, that was a big turnaround because it's taken a little while for the USA athletes to understand this qualification process because up until now, it's always just been pro card, pro card, pro card. If everyone gets a pro card, then your amateur ranks are going to weaken and you're just going to get more and more and more pros, which in a sense is good for some of the organizations because they're going to get higher membership fees, higher entry fees. They're not going to give it any more entry prize money because they only give prize money to the top so many. So it doesn't matter to them whether they've got hundreds of pros or 10 pros. But we would rather have good quality, strong pros that are competitive and good, strong amateurs that are competitive at world level than just have hundreds and hundreds of pros paying us pro fees, if that makes kind of any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Can I jump in on that, Ez?
Yeah, we sure can.
Well, one of the things that I noticed also is, when Vicky would come into the room, it was almost like the testosterone had to get in check. And I like that because that's the one thing that I've always said is that a muscular woman shouldn't frighten a grown man. And to watch her hold her own among the guys that really thought they were about to hold some sway, it's got to be a challenge for Vicky. It's, you know, coming from overseas and then coming into this atmosphere, because, you know, it is two different cultures, even though we run similar in nature. We're not exactly the same, especially like you were saying, when it comes to the natural arena and how we go about doing things. Because I was really excited about having to qualify and then also having to go back and step up against people that you don't see on a regular basis. So that was a challenge in itself. But getting back to Vicky and holding her own with the guys, I'm sure that's been going on for years.
Yeah. it's hard because bodybuilding is generally a male-orientated sport. I've always been strong. It was tough coming in and rocking the boat, which is what I did at first. I mean, I did come in, and when I started the VFAC, I rocked the boat. I said what I thought was the truth, and I stood my ground. And I think a lot of people didn't like the fact I wasn't American, didn't like the fact I was a woman. And, you know, that's one of the facts of life. It's always the same. And it's the same over here as well. But I've run the BMBF for a long time. I think that's nearly 17 years now. And I've had the knocks, and people told me I couldn't do that, and people told me I couldn't make the DFAC work. That's like a red rag to a bull to me. If you tell me I can't do something, there's a damn good chance I'm going to do my best to prove you wrong. I don't know why, but that's just the way I am. I believe in telling the truth. I believe in not sticking our head in the sand and ignoring when things are wrong. I think that we all work too hard as athletes. And bear in mind that first and foremost, I'm a bodybuilder. I didn't actually even think about getting into promotion. That was never my intention. Never mind running a British organization and getting involved in a worldwide organization. I just wanted to compete. But I can't sit back and stick my head in the sand and pretend everything's hunky-dory, everything's great. If it's not, I'll speak out. And that caused problems. But now I think people are starting to trust me a little bit. I hope that people are starting to trust me a little bit. And I hope that people understand that if I am saying something, I get no gain from this. I don't make any money from the BMBF. I don't make any money from the DFAC. So if I'm sticking my neck out to say something or to make a point, it's not because I'm going to benefit in any way. It's because I believe that it's good for my sport and the sport that I love. And if people don't like that, there's not a lot I can do about it, really.
I wouldn't want you to. Not at all. I think the one thing that natural bodybuilding has done has definitely empowered the women to understand that they, you know, they can hold their own and they don't have to take a back seat to anybody. So, you know, keep on keeping on, woman. I don't mind it. That's
So, Vicky, you've been doing this, well, you've been in this sport in one capacity or another for, you said, 27 years?
Yeah, about that.
Tell us a little bit. I mean, how did you get started? When did you get started? Why did you get started?
My background, I was always sporty as a kid. I worked in a gym from when I was 14. I used to go and see the guys in the gym that competed. I used to go and watch them compete. I then went on to be a PE student. I'm a trained PE teacher. But all through my training, I was still, you know, doing weights, going to the gym. So after doing a day's physical activity, I would be going to the gym. And I did my first show when I was 20. It wasn't a natural show. It was just a local, what would be the same as the NPC, but British version.
Okay.
And I did that 2 years in a row. I was second the first year, won it the next year, and then someone told me about natural bodybuilding. So I decided to do my first natural show, and I won my pro card in 1995, and I was a WMBF pro. I came across to New York in 1996 and got second last, which was a real shock after having only ever been first or second in a show. So I went away and worked hard and climbed the ranks until, I've made top three in all the major organizations. I've been top three at WNBF Worlds. I think I've been top two in the Yorton Cup. I won the PNBA Universe. I was second in the PNBA Olympia, all at professional level. In 2000, the WNBF asked me to run an affiliate for them in Britain, which is why the BNBF started. I took that on board and worked with that. We stayed with them for 6 years. I'm not going to spin out any negativity or any reasons why we left or didn't stay, but we moved on. We went to the PNBA. We were there for, I think it was 2 or 3 years. And then there was issues there, and again, there's no need for me to bring any negativity in. We went to the IFPA, and again, we stayed for a few years, and there was a lot of issues that I wasn't happy with. And after that, we decided that the only way we could really, as competitors, get what we wanted from international competition was by getting involved. I don't mean this disrespectfully to any athlete, because there are fantastic athletes in all these organisations. But as a team coming across from the UK, we were finding that a lot of the shows were an anti-climax. There was a lot of issues with drug testing. There was issues with judging sheets. There was issues with bad lighting. There was issues with just lots of little things that people kept just sticking their head in the sand and they still are, sticking their head in the sand and ignoring things that are going on. And for a lot of people, I understand, it's about going to a local show and getting on a stage. And that's fine. If that's all you want from bodybuilding, that's fine. But for us coming from the UK, our bodybuilding is a sport. We qualified. We worked hard to get to a level, so we wanted something more. So my experience has been, every aspect of bodybuilding. I've been a competitor. I've been a judge. I've been a promoter. I've run an organization. I do prep work, I have my own gym. So my knowledge is pretty vast. And as I say, I don't make my money in any way. I don't make my, income from bodybuilding. My bodybuilding and everything I give to bodybuilding, I give because I believe the sport is positive. I believe it has a lot to offer a lot of people. But I also believe that there's a lot of damage being done to it through the commercialization of it. A sport that I believed was positive for working class, for every aspect of life, has become a sport for the privileged, where the entry fees are ridiculously high, the membership fees are ridiculously high. Even if you're not competing and you've gained pro status, you're having to pay for a membership in the years you're not competing, which again, if you've not got money, that's ridiculous. I mean, people now believe they have to have a prep coach to compete. I've never had a prep coach in my life. I've never had anybody coach me. I've done it all myself, which is also true of probably 90% of the British athletes that come across to the US. So for me, my knowledge is vast, my experience is pretty vast. And yet I still love this crazy sport.
Well, that about...
Yeah, we love it too.
Go ahead, Des.
No, see, here's the thing. We are all in different places and there's always a delay. And so we don't have the privilege of seeing each other and knowing when to talk and when not to talk. So it gets a little jumbled up, but... Just out there. So if you ever hear silence, it's not because we are not having something to say. It's because we're waiting to see if somebody else is going to say something. So we're not saying, what's that you said, Kaylin? Go ahead, Des. All that good stuff. But that is just the nature of our show here at the moment. But, yeah, go ahead, Kaylin.
Okay. Well, I was I love the atmosphere. I'm just a big fan of you. And Vicky, I'm telling you, you do your work. And that's the one thing that I respect. And I told you that from day one. You know, I've been in situations where I had to speak my mind. Sure enough, people didn't like it because it's not what they want to hear. I mean, life ain't about being sugarcoated. And as being a lifter, being around sports like I've been, I've had to hear the hard truth. And sometimes, a lot of people don't want to hear it, but it's the one thing that needs to be said to get things moving. And if you look at the groundbreaking things you've done, you know, just with the mindset that you brought, it's made a lot of changes, even though, you know, a lot of people won't refer it back to you. It's still basically off of the theme and the basis that you had.
It's funny because when I started the BMBS, people said to me, you can't make this work. I said, if it doesn't work, it will make other people have to make changes. I said the same thing when I started the DFAC. People said, this will not work. You know, there's too many organizations. I said, it might not work, but I will make people have to sit up and make changes for the better, because otherwise we will work. If they want us not to work, they have to make the changes. And that in itself, if I fail, will still be good for the sport.
And that's true. And that's very true. And, you know, another thing that you've done is, like I said, you've definitely given the women that were questioning their heart and the point of doing the fitness side of it, that it's a mental aspect of it too. And that's where I go into where I talk about the empowered nature that you bring, and that, and you know, just like young men need to see grown men being adults, it's good to see a woman that's, you know, competitive on stage and in life.
I've always taken up the challenge. I don't know. I think that I've never backed down from anything. But I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher trained as well. So I think having that background of having to stand up in front of teenagers or students and deal with situations makes you a bit more bomb-proof as far as, you know, what's going to happen. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's been times in the past 2 years where, you know, it's been tough and you felt like you're hitting your head off a brick wall and you felt that people hated you for what you were doing. But if we can break through, then it's been worth it. If it's a challenge, if someone tells me I can't do something, that's even worse.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, there's been plenty of people that don't want you to be successful because, you know, and it's sad to say, especially in this day and age, but there's still that stigma that, you know, women don't know and women can't do. And it's by people that really don't know and can't do. And it's funny to me because basically their success is based on others, but they won't give them credit. And then when they see that you're successful, they don't want to give you credit. So, you know, I can see why you'd feel like it was an uphill battle, because it seems like, you know, especially with the positive energy you bring, honestly, and it's sad to say, but, you know, positive does attract negative. It's not like they intentionally want to do that, but you expose the wrong in them, and so it'd be better to snuff you out than to sit there and deal with their own issues. So, you know, kudos to what you've been doing, because, like, Desiree can tell you, when we were doing the show about the winners, all they talked about was the CFAC. So, I mean, it was really something with how they felt and how they felt welcomed and just everything about it. We wanted to talk about the competitors. They wanted to talk about the DFAC. So that should be, you know, something that you can hang your hat on just with that.
I mean, we're getting a lot of, I mean, we really are getting a lot of positive feedback. And I keep saying to the athletes, I can tell people until I'm blue in the face what we're trying to do and how good it is or, you know, whatever. It takes the athletes to go out there and tell people, you know, don't be afraid of, you know, the other organizations, how they're going to treat you because you're going to big up the DFAC. If you like what we do, go out there and tell people, because that is what's going to work for us. But what's nice for me is that winners of a show, regardless, 99% of the time will say the show was brilliant. It could be the worst show in the world, but if they won it, it was something special. But when we're getting people that didn't even place contacting us and telling us what a great time they had and how they can't wait to come back next year, that to me means millions. I mean, that is what we want. I mean, not everyone can be a winner in this sport. I mean, it's very, very tough. And a lot of the challenge is against yourself. And I think people have to realize that, you know, that if you're the best you that you can be on that day, that's all you can do. Sometimes everything else is out your hands. But if you can have fun doing that and go away going, you know what, I had a good time. We had fun. I met good people. There was a positive atmosphere. I felt like I learned something. Then that is worth doing. I mean, people that only get pleasure out of winning, bodybuilding is a really tough sport because there's always somebody that's better than you.
It's very tough, and it will check your ego and your pride, especially if that's what you stepped on stage with. So, you know, I've said it, and, you know, a lot of people have taken it the wrong way, but, you know, I've said this about, you know, not everybody's cut out for bodybuilding. Not everybody's cut out for basketball. Not everybody's cut out for football. That doesn't mean that you're defective in some way. You know, it's the best example I can give is in Dez's home state of Iowa, where the lady said, you know, I never thought about competing, but it's nice to see people that are finding their way to be their best and still show me it's okay to be healthy instead of what, you know, they see in this fast food society that we've been having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it's bringing that positivity in people and getting them to strive for something. I mean, I get concerned with some issues of it where I think that, you know, people get too caught up in it and it becomes almost obsessive. And people need to remember it's supposed to be fun, and you still have to put time aside for other things and family and friends. And sometimes it concerns me to say that, you know, how obsessed people are becoming with it. But if it's making people look at themselves or giving them confidence, I mean, going to the gym in itself is a great confidence thing. And especially for a lot of the women, the gym I have has been a predominantly male gym for a long time. But we've got more and more women coming in, and the confidence that they're leaving with, and most of them will never be on stage, but they're still getting that feeling of achievement because they're watching their bodies changing and taking control of something in their lives. And bodybuilding can do that. It's like I said earlier about why I thought bodybuilding was such a good sport, in that over here in Britain, it's a very working class sport, and it takes a lot of focus and determination. And a lot of the time, mm-hmm. for wayward kids or kids that haven't got something like that in their life, excuse me, it's a great thing. Going to the gym, having something to focus on, can keep them away from other elements, as you say, fast foods, alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be. So there's a real positivity. And that's why I get frustrated by the high entry fees. That's why we keep our entry fees and our memberships low, or as low as we can. Because I don't like seeing, you know, it being the privileged only that can take part in the sport, because it's got a lot to offer a lot of people that haven't got a lot else.
I mean, and that in of itself is admirable, and I'm for anything that, you know, puts a sport into the hands of the people that it can make the greatest good for, and those aren't always the people that go on to be professionals. So if somebody out there wants to learn more about DFAC and how they can get involved, where should they go look?
And we have the website, the Drug Free Athletes Coalition.com. We've also got a Facebook page, a Facebook group. We try and answer as many questions as we can on Facebook as well. I'm always on and answering as many questions as I can. Eventually I'd love to see, in the UK we have BMBF clubs. And we run these clubs once a month, and most of our pros that are pros over here will attend a club once a month, and we'll put time into juniors, kids, teenagers, novices, people that want to come into the sport. We teach them what's expected of them at a show, we help them with their posing, we'll give them advice on diet, we'll help them through some training, and it's a club feeling. It's not a seminar, it's a club. We don't charge anything for people to come. If they're using the gym, it'll be whatever it costs for the day pass of the gym. I think it's probably about $7. And we open that to everybody. And as I say, virtually every one of our pros over here gets involved and goes along and helps people out. I keep pushing this in the USA. I keep saying to the DFAC promoters, try and get the pros in your area to build up, you know, go to a gym once a month because it allows people to come in and try and learn. I don't know if it's so much over in the USA, but a lot of, I always used to say, every sport that you take part in, you can go to a club. So if I want to do athletics, I go to an athletic club. If I want to play basketball, there's a basketball club. Bodybuilding never had that. Bodybuilding was relying on you going along to a gym and possibly somebody in the gym influencing you, either in a good way or a bad way, the gym owner maybe or maybe not giving you advice about going to a show, or paying a fortune for a prep coach. What we do in the BMBF is that, as I say, we have these clubs where people can learn and it doesn't cost them a fortune to be there and do that. And we'll help them through to get to show, to their first show. And then what happens is generally they come back and help others. So it generates this huge interest and huge ability to keep our sport growing at grassroots level. And this is what I'd like to see happening in the DFAC. I have mentioned it a few times to a few of the promoters and some of the pros, and I hope that as we grow, it's something that we can work on generating as well.
Definitely. I mean, and applaud, I mean, I would, you know, applaud that concept. I mean, and that it goes back to getting the athletes more involved, getting them talking about the shows, but even more than just talking about it, I mean, it's a community enrichment effort if you could get that kind of just knowledge and motivation and momentum and caring going. I mean, it's the big brother and big sister in bodybuilding. I would love to see something like that take off in the United States.
If we can do it in the UK, I don't believe it can't happen in the USA. I mean, I know that capitalism is huge and people want to make money, but once a month for a couple of hours, I'm sure a lot of knowledgeable people could do that. And I hope they do. I hope that they take that on board. And I think that might encourage, as I say, more youngsters that don't have the money to do other ways to get involved in our sport. I mean, and that in itself will bring so much talent through. It'll encourage them to stay away from, you know, going down the drug route or that being the first route. I mean, sometimes people make these choices and it's their choice to make, but if we can educate them and get them involved in natural bodybuilding early doors by educating and helping them, then I think that's got to be positive. And as I say, it was one of the goals that I set out when we started the DFAC, and it's still something I'd like to see put in place. But as I can't do that from here. That really needs to come from the other side, I suppose. You guys have to get in there and do it.
Well, and now that's the perfect segue, because like actually tomorrow there's Rich Feliciano and John Parrish and I are going to my gym, and we're going to be doing something very similar to what you're saying. So I don't know if you was reading my mind or picking my brain. That's kind of crazy. But I remember you saying something like that to Froyo down in Miami when we were doing the interview, and I was just so taken by that, because you know there was so many things going on that day, and you still have that outreach, and that lets you know right then and there that it's part of your heart. It's not some talking point. This is something you truly believe in.
I believe that, as I say, I watch so many kids coming into the gym that have got confidence issues, kids that are getting bullied, kids that just don't know who they are, and by encouraging them and bringing them through, as I say, some of them may make the stage, some of them may not, but by giving them that confidence and ability to lift weights and be part of the community, as you were saying earlier, it's a community thing, you know, it does so much for them, and if we can generate that through the DFAC and through natural bodybuilding, then we're not just, it becomes less of an egotistical me sport. It becomes something that we're generating positivity and developing kids and youngsters in a positive way. And I think if that's something that we can do in our sport, then that just makes it all the better.
It does. It does. And again, you're just fueling the pipeline for the sport with a healthy, positive mentality. You know, because so many of these shows, they have a teen division, and there's nobody in it because they simply don't know or haven't had the opportunity to get involved. And, you know, and not every kid is cut out for your mainstream sports. Not everybody plays football, basketball, track, volleyball, softball, baseball. Not everybody does that. And so they do need more opportunities, like you said, to find out who they are or at least experiment with something else, at a minimum, walk away with a better idea of how to manage their health. So great idea. Kaylin, I'm going to be looking forward to hearing more about how your effort goes. It's this weekend, you said?
Oh, no, this is tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow already.
Yeah.
All right. I better see lots of pictures on Midwest Muscle.
Oh, you most assuredly will, and there'll be some interviews as well, but it'll be after our show tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So in the evening, cool. So I guess we're doing a little itty bitty segue, but definitely want to promote this. So when and where for your local listeners? Sorry, Vicki, we're going to jump back in just a second. But while I'm thinking of this, when and where is this going to be tomorrow for your local listeners if they have a young athlete that is looking to participate?
Well, tomorrow we have the guy who played Mortal Kombat, Jax, of Mortal Kombat fame, the arcade game, and Rich Feliciano. Vicki's familiar with him. They're going to be joining me because Rich has his daughter that's going to be competing at the Nabashai Town Showdown. And John Parrish is having his daughter compete at that same show. And so we wanted to do something, like Vicki said, to start preparing the people. Because, you know, if you start in April, you're not going to be ready. You got to start getting ready for shows pretty much now. Not, like, going crazy, especially with the younger kids. But just something that can show them that it can be done naturally. Because I think that's the rub right now. People say that's not natural, but what they're saying is that's not normal. Natural mm-hmm. does look different than normal, especially in this society. So, you know, we can show them normal and it still be natural.
Got it. So this is in Chicago. What gym are you going to be at?
At Five Star Fitness in Joliet, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's in Joliet. Okay, Five Star Fitness in Joliet. And what time?
It'll be at 8 o'clock. So basically, I'll be getting off the show and running to the gym and getting everything set up so we can get that going.
Awesome. Well, that's exciting. Well, there you go, Vicki, all the way from Scotland. And look what you've got going on in Joliet, Illinois.
That's brilliant news.
Well, I can honestly say that stems exactly from when she was sitting at the Proyo down in Miami, because that just kind of got me. And JB and I have talked about getting to the local high schools to educate the kids about not having to use steroids to play the respective sports that are considered prime time.
That's so positive.
Very
I mean, it really is positive.
Well, that's thanks to you, Vicki.
Everything's moving in the right direction. You know, there are a lot of things going on all over with natural bodybuilding, but things like that make me feel really positive. The DFAC in itself it's got a real positive vibe. It's buzzing just now. You know, they're really. I think that this year is probably going to be a huge jump for us, so we're quite excited about the whole season, and then culminating into the Miami World Finals again. I think that's going to be another amazing event with amazing athletes, so I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope you'll be back down there competing again, Kaylin.
I sure look forward to it, yes.
And then that moment of silence when nobody knows who's talking next.
No. I'm just, because I looked at the clock and I realized that it's almost time for the show to end. And it's like, it was kind of a really sad moment. Oh, my goodness. Vicki, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I would be remiss to not give you a chance to give a shout out to everybody that supported you and helped you. And please let them know, because I know you can't thank everybody, but there's just times when, you know, we would like to get it out there and let them know that they matter. So just give a shout out to your supporters.
Just To be honest, there are so many people that have been so positive. There have been, you know, behind the scenes, from the UK, we've got a great team of people that have got behind me and the DFAC and, you know, made Miami their vacation so they could come out and help. And they all know who they are, so I'm not going to start listing names. To Rich and Mike for the work they do with the DFAC. To all the promoters, all of you, every one of you, for being so supportive and so strong in our beliefs. That is, I mean, it's incredible to have that support. And to our champions who do us proud. You know, they're out there, you know, telling people about what we're doing, coming back year after year and making our events incredible. To all the athletes who come to Miami, all the amateurs that battle it out there, I really can't thank you all enough for making it the fun element that it is, for making the show what it is. You guys are really special. And believe me, it's going to get tougher. So get in there and get down there and try and win that world title, because that really is going to become a tough one. But just thanks to anyone. And more to say, if anyone has any questions, any promoter out there wants to get in touch, anyone wants to speak to us about getting involved, as I said, the DFAC is not about titles. It's not about positions. It's about teamwork. It's a coalition. We work together. We support each other. And we promote the sport. We don't charge sanction fees to our promoters. We help them as much as we can. So by all means, if anyone has any questions, please, please reach out. I'm happy to talk. Rich is happy to talk as well. So get on the phone. Leif's another great outlet. If someone wants any help or advice, Leif's out there. He's, you know, really done me proud as far as being there for me with other promoters and just, you know, getting the word spread. To Roma and Rich again, Joe Rich, sorry, they've been fantastic as well. Their Buffalo videos have just made me laugh a hell of a lot. but you guys all know who you are. You do know who you are, and we're doing it, and the FAC is going places. So stay strong, everyone, and stay positive, and we'll see everyone this year in 2016, which is going to be an awesome year for DFAC.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Vicki. And again, if anyone decides to call her, which I hope you take her up on her offer, just remember to check the time zone because she is in Scotland. So you want to make sure that you get that matched up. And then I would also put a challenge out there to any of our pros from, I don't care what federation you're from, you know, If you have the connections and the wherewithal to put together some bodybuilding clubs, as Vicki calls them, or youth, you know, a youth afternoon or whatever it is, but similar to what Kaylin's got going on tomorrow, I challenge you to take a look around and see if you can't do that in your communities as a way to promote natural bodybuilding among the youth in your area, whether you're IFPA, DFAC, whatever federation you come from. But just check around and see what you can do and see what kind of interest you get, and you might be surprised. And I'm also going to take that challenge personally and see if we can't get something going, at least on a one-time basis, and see how it goes in Des Moines, Iowa. So, and if you do get something going, be sure you check back in at Midwest Muscle and let us know how things are going for you, the results that you've been getting, because we would love to hear it. And we'll definitely keep our eye on this kind of movement within the sport. And then real quickly, if you get the chance, please be tuned back in again tomorrow night with Kaylin and I at P4P Real Talk, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are going to have the lovely Jess Mort, a.k.a. Jessica Lynn, NPC competitor, all natural in the bikini world, and she's just been invited to the Arnold Australia competition. So we're going to talk to her and learn more about that. Kaylin, what else you got before we head out?
I've just got nothing but, like you said, with the time difference and everything and Vicki being up, I really appreciate that because, like I said, this is a live show, and she's up at this time of day, you know, still showing love and passion and everything else for the natural community. And I don't know what else can be said for someone that's willing to do this much and keep pushing after, you know, having a full day's worth of work. And it's, you know, we really have to keep in mind with things like that, you know, before you start complaining and yelling and screaming, because without
these kind of organizations, without the promotion that happens, we don't have a platform to cry about not winning. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're hearing people that are doing what they're doing. There's a passion that drives them, and it should be a passion that drives you to be successful too. Not winning, but passion to drive to be your best. Because winning is the outcome of doing your best eventually. I mean, because that's the nature of the beast. You don't win all the time, but you can win.
All right. Well, with that, on behalf of, go ahead.
No, I was going to let you send it on home. Thank you, Vicki.
Yes, thanks again so much, Vicki. We loved you. So, be on behalf of Vicki.
Go ahead, Vic.
All right.
I said that thank you for everyone for listening. I hope they understood me.
Definitely. You know, one of these days we're all going to be in the same room, and I think Kaylin, we need to go to Scotland and do another show with Vicki from Scotland.
Right.
And then it'll be a smooth transition the whole way. But on behalf of Vicki, P4P Muscle, Kaylin, and myself, if your body is a temple, let's build it.
Good night.
Good night.